Well, the for sale sign was placed in the yard with this addendum: I'm beautiful inside. From the outside, it looked rather run down. The windows were too small. The shrubbery was all grown up. But the sign encouraged us not to think of it from just its outward appearance, but to instead think of this as something where there is more than meets the eye. There's something more beautiful. There's something more valuable about this home than can be appreciated from the curb. And I think maybe the local church is a lot like that. From the outside, we may not seem like much. Yes, we are the house of God, Hebrews 10, verse 21, but we may seem to outsiders and even sometimes those of us on the inside as unremarkable, ordinary, maybe even to some outdated, run down. We're young and old. We are male and female. We are single and married. We are unemployed and overworked. Some of us sing slightly off key. Many of us feel as though we cannot articulate the fundamental statements of our faith as clearly as we wish we could. We don't always see eye to eye on everything, and sometimes even the most mature among us fall into quarrels and jealousies and grumblings and spiritual lethargy. But there's more beauty. There's more value than what we may initially see with our physical eyes. You know, the Old Testament tabernacle on the outside was covered with ram skins and goat hair, but inside it was ornamented with gold and with silver. There was more of value on the inside than what it may have seemed, at least by initial accounts, on the outside. And the Bible describes the church as the radiant bride of Christ, as a spiritual house that is made with living stones, as the pillar and the ground of the truth, as the very body of Christ Himself. We may not realize it from the curb, but this house is gorgeous. Increasing numbers, though, are being turned away from the church. It seems to be that among Christians in their 20s and 30s, narratives of questioning and criticizing and rejecting the church are increasingly common. And wandering away from the church is considered the new path to spiritual maturity, religious credibility. We're tired of that old way of doing things. They think they found something better. And it's not just younger Christians. It's not just younger generations. It's people really of all ages who are struggling as a result of frustration, disappointment, discouragement. Belonging to a local church doesn't always seem to come with the glorious privilege that Scripture assigns to it. And this is the world in which we live. An age that has been assigned by many individuals as a post-Christian age. What are we going to do about that? How are we going to respond to accusations like these and even realities like these? Well, this year, I want us to try and take a crack at it under the theme of I love His church. This is our focus for 2024, at least from the pulpit. And as we've done in years past, we will take usually the first Sunday morning of every month, and we'll look at this theme. Now, before I tell you where we're going with this, let me tell you why we're going with this. There are several things I'm trying to accomplish in this series of lessons, and I don't always share sort of the thesis behind why we preach what we preach, but I'd like to do that this year, because our focus throughout this year-long series is going to be, first of all, to remind us of who we are, to remind us of our identity as God's people in Christ. We are God's family. And to be reminded of the fact that when I say I love His church, what I'm really emphasizing is the fact that we are His church. And so that love that we have is for each other and for the promise, yes, of who we are in Christ, but also of who we can be in and because of Christ. Second, our focus this year will be to affirm the importance not only of a personal relationship with Jesus, but of a corporate relationship with Jesus. See, Jesus designed our relationship with Him to be accompanied by regular fellowship with others who are in fellowship with Him. And so we talk about the importance of a relationship with Jesus, and rightly so. But if we are neglecting coming together, if we don't spend time with one another, I want to submit to you this year that we are missing out on a fundamental attribute of what it means to be the church, the people who have been assembled by and for Jesus Himself. It's not just about guilt-tripping people who aren't here. It's about helping them to realize that missing the fellowship of God's people is malnourishing your soul. In addition to these things, our focus this year in this year-long series will also serve to call each of us to personally invest in this local congregation. After all, we have organized ourselves the way that Jesus told us to. We have elders, we have deacons, and we are trying to submit to the authority of the elders and to support the work of the deacons. And so what we need to do is to really double down and invest here. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Now, I don't mean to the exclusion of mission works. That's included in as much as we're doing this here. And I don't mean that the only good that we can do is in association with this congregation. Certainly, many of you are involved in things on an individual level or perhaps in other areas of your life that glorify God. But I do believe that the plan of God is that we serve Him as Christians, locally working together for the cause of Christ within the context of a local church. We wish to remind us of that as we proceed this year. I want to encourage people not to cast off the local church as though it isn't important. And finally, this year, I want to provide a conversation starter for those who are lost, who are looking for true peace, who are looking for a place to belong. See, church isn't about being a part of a closed social club. The church isn't a country club where we pay our dues, you know, we put our money in the basket, and therefore we get to dictate everything, and if you come along and you look a little different from us, we don't want your kind here. That's not what this is supposed to be about. Jesus says everybody is going to know that you're mine by the love that you have for each other. See, there's an evangelistic component to our community as a congregation, as a church of Christ. And so may our assemblies never give the impression that we are only concerned about the individuals within the confines of these walls. But instead, may our anthem for this year, I love His church, serve as an apologetic for those outside. There is something worth loving here. And on the outside, you may think that it's not very beautiful, but there's this addendum. This is beautiful on the inside. Taste and see. Or in John chapter 1, come and see for yourselves, with the reminder that what Jesus told us to do is to go and to tell. Where are we headed this year? Beginning next month, we'll have 11 opportunities to study this theme together. And we wish to highlight that in loving His church, we're talking about the fact that we are His beloved, that we are the called ones, that we are His assembly, His flock, His body, that we are, the New Testament uses the term, saints. We'll talk about what that means, that we are brothers and sisters, that we are our brother's keepers. Don't these things help us to see the beauty, the reasons why we can and should love His church? That we're partners together for the sake of the gospel. That we're part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And finally, in an effort to bring these wonderful truths into my life, we'll conclude, the Lord willing, in December. It will be here before we know it, won't it? By looking at His church is my church. Not in the sense that I get to make all the rules or that it's mine and not His, but in the sense of I am going to take ownership of this. I'm invested. I want to be a part of this. And the Lord willing, and God blessing our studies, at the conclusion of these 11 lessons, this one being the first by introduction, we truly will be ready, even more than we are today, to invest in the wonderful cause of Christ. But as I mentioned, I would love for this theme this year to not only serve as a reminder for us and to affirm our love and the importance of the church, but also to be somewhat of an evangelistic campaign for this year. And here's what I mean by that. We're kind of excited about this. Some shirts that have been made. And guess what it says? It says, I love His church on the front. And on the back, it's got the Henderson Church of Christ logo. We actually have one of these for every member of this congregation, including the little kids. And they will be available to you to pick up today. Bill Wade will tell you more about that in just a little while during our announcements. But we're thrilled about this. Now, when am I going to wear this? Well, whenever you want. I mean, it's always a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be great if you were wearing this at the grocery store and it sparked an evangelistic conversation? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody sees you doing a good deed for another and without maybe even talking to you, they just notice the logo for the congregation on the back and they give God the glory for something good that was done for someone who wears and who on his or her shirt is literally wearing the name of Jesus. See, that's the kind of things, the sort of interactions that we're hopeful that the I Love His Church campaign can do for us this year. In addition to that, though, we're also planning a couple of special days. We're calling them Love Where You Live days. And these are days of service for this whole church. We'll have service projects and activities that anyone can be involved with that are focused not on serving ourselves, but on serving our community. The two dates are Saturday, April 13th and Saturday, November 16th. On November 16th, our hope is to provide some sort of Thanksgiving outreach meal, some food, something to members of our community who are in need. And in that way, we're hoping to communicate to other people that His church is truly something worth loving. And as we emphasize loving His church, we're also very much concerned about the future of the Lord's church. As a preacher, I've been reading with interest some of the articles, both by individuals in denominational circles and also within our fellowship, that are talking about the decline of preachers. There are congregations out there all over the country and the world who are struggling to find people who are willing to stand up and preach for them on a regular basis. And so I went to our elders and I asked if they would be willing to support something, and they have enthusiastically agreed for this year. And this summer, the Lord willing, we'll have an opportunity to take a young man who is a Bible major who plans to preach and to allow him to sort of follow me around so he'll learn what not to do during that time. And hopefully to help him to see just what things are like behind the scenes, to be prepared for some of the challenges of ministry, in as much as some of those opportunities can be gained through a 10-week experience. I'm excited that on May the 19th, Austin Ketchum will be joining us as our preaching and general ministry intern. He will be working with us from May 19th until July the 28th. We basically claim him as our own anyway, right? Austin has tremendous potential for the Lord. He's already a wonderful servant and Bible student and speaker, and we're excited that during this summer he'll be working with this congregation. In fact, he'll be teaching most, if not all, of the adult Bible classes throughout that time, and he'll have a couple of opportunities to preach from this location as well. So, as our preaching or ministry intern, he won't be working with our young people. They're going to have interns of their own as normal, but he'll be working with all of us as a congregation. And in that way, I think we'll be able to further emphasize our love for his church and our investment in the future of his church. It's interesting to think about how the Apostle Paul loved the Lord's church. You know, if you think about Paul, I think that Paul's experiences in many ways could match up with some of the discouraging experiences that so many people in modern times discuss. See, there are people who say, well, I don't want any part of the church. After all, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. There are people who have let me down there. I thought I could trust them. There are individuals who have discouraged me there. And when you think about it, didn't Paul experience the same things? He went from the church's enemy to the church's friend in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. But he almost immediately began to experience challenges. He was viewed with skepticism by church leaders in Acts 9, 26. Has he really been converted? Can you imagine if someone was baptized right here and the next Sunday everybody looked at him and said, are you sure that person's really a Christian? Or is he or she just here for some personal gain? Even worse, imagine that you are that person and everyone's looking at you. Are we sure that this person is legit? Have they really been converted to Jesus? Barnabas helped him, of course, stood up for him, but that wasn't the end of the Apostle Paul's difficult journey with the church. He suffered personal attacks from false teachers, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10. He was intentionally misunderstood by other Christians. Peter talks about how some people, false teachers, were taking the scriptures that were written by Paul and intentionally twisting them to try and make them say something that they did not, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. He had disagreements with other Christians, even Barnabas, Acts 15, 36 through 40. He was disappointed by other Christians, 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 29. And in Philippians chapter 2, as he sat alone in prison, he noted that many of his brothers and sisters in Christ were only concerned about themselves rather than for the cause of Christ. Paul knew how disappointing the local church can be. And yet, virtually, if not literally, all of the 11 designators of the church that we will study this year are given to us from Paul's ministry. It is Paul who describes the church at Corinth, of all places, as saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He refers to the church as beloved some 12 times throughout his writings. He regularly refers to other Christians as brothers and sisters of his, and he doesn't hesitate to call them saints. He writes to them stating that he longs to spend time with them, expressing both his anxiety, his concern for them, but also his affection, his love for these people. And as he writes about the church, he does so seemingly with such optimism about what is possible within the local congregations. It's Paul who wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. All deserted me." And yet it's also Paul who wrote just a few verses earlier, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul knew that the church is so much more than it often seems. It's Paul who reminds us that we are the people of God, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, that we are the body of Christ, and that among us, anyone can find a place to belong. I'm looking forward this year to a wonderful year of study, the Lord willing. A wonderful year of work for our Lord, about which we will hear more in specifics this evening from the shepherds of this congregation. I love His church. Don't you? I love this church, this congregation. The reality is, of course, that this congregation isn't perfect. None is. But we are His. We belong to Him. And so we love His church. We are His church. Are you? Are you a part of His church, the body of Christ? The place in which all of the saved have been added by Him. Acts chapter 2, verse number 47. Let me tell you that in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the discouragements, in spite of the challenges, there's more to the church than may initially meet the eye. The Lord's church is beautiful inside. And we encourage whoever is willing to come in. If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you hear the words of Jesus when He says, "If you don't believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins," John 8, 24. Won't you hear the words of Jesus when He says, "If you don't repent, you'll perish," Luke 13, 3 and 5. Won't you hear the words of the Lord Jesus who says, "If you'll confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father in heaven," Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Won't you hear the words of the Lord Jesus when He says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age," Matthew 28, 19 and 20. If there's someone in this room this morning who's ready to give his or her life to Jesus and to become a part of this wonderful family that we call the church, then we would urge you and rejoice with you in doing that today. If you need the prayers of this group of people, we'd be honored to lift your name before our loving Father. Perhaps you need to speak with some of our shepherds. A couple of them are always available after service in the classroom just off of the commons, and anyone out there would be happy to direct you to where you can meet with them privately. If we can assist anyone this morning in responding to the Lord's invitation, come to the front while we stand and sing together.